Will the ways of this world last forever? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Now, there's one sure thing about this world system. It's not going to be here forever. It is passing away. Only that which is in the will of God is going to abide forever. So let me ask you a question. What is more important to you? The pleasures of the flesh or the joys of the spirit? What is more important to you? That which is temporal and transitory or that which is eternal and cannot pass away? If you're living for this world, you're painting the decks of a sinking ship. This world is passing away and the fashion thereof, and soon the mossy fingers of decay are going to take away all those little toys and those little trinkets that you have.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring profound truth simply stated by Adrian Rogers. When we become Christians, the Lord fills our hearts with love. However, there are some things the Bible says we cannot afford to love. There is an ungodly system set against our Lord. Although it may cozy up to us, the world is a friendly enemy. If you have your Bible, turn now to 1 John chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 15 as Adrian Rogers delivers part 2 of this powerful message, Your Friendly Enemy.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now the Bible tells us here in 1 John that we're not to love the world. The title of our message today is Your Friendly Enemy. Your friendly enemy. You have an enemy, and that enemy is the world. And the Bible says you're not to love the world. Now, what do we mean by that? Obviously, he's not talking about the planet Earth. Now, the Bible also calls that the world. But there's nothing wrong with loving this planet, what God has made. When God made creation, God said, that is good. And you can love the rocks, the hills, the trees, the fleas, the bees, all of the rest of it. You can love it. You can love the flowers. Jesus said, consider the lilies, how they grow. Solomon, in all of his opulence, was not dressed up like one of these. And nothing wrong with loving God's creation. Thank God, this is my Father's world. Amen. He made it, and you can love it, and you ought to enjoy it. And when he says love not the world, he's not talking about the world of people. We're to love people, red, yellow, black, and white. There's to be no prejudice. There's to be no hatred of any person, whether they're saved or lost. We're to love all people. Why? Because the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So if God loves the peoples of this world, we're to love the peoples of this world. What is he talking about, therefore, in 1 John, the second chapter, when he says, love not the world? There is a system that we are not to love. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about planet Earth. He's not talking about the people, but he is talking about an ungodly, devilish system that is set against our Lord and his Christ. And you're not to love that world. Although that world may be very friendly to you, it may cozy up to you, it is a friendly enemy. If you are a friend to this world that hates Jesus, you are an enemy of God and a traitor to Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and was crucified by this world. This world has a prince. This world has a philosophy. This world has a purpose, and that purpose is to draw away your heart, to seduce you from loving the Lord Jesus Christ as you ought. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Sometimes we use the term worldly Christian. Billy Sunday said you might as well speak of a heavenly devil. It's a contradiction in terms. We hear a lot about the separation of church and state. I believe we need to hear a little bit more about the separation of church and world, don't you? I mean, today, you can't tell the difference between those who name the name of Jesus and those who don't. They look alike, they talk alike, they go to the same places, they smoke the same things. No. We're to come out from the world. So why does John say, love not the world? Well, number one, because of the character of the world. Number two, because of the corruption of the world. Look at this passage of Scripture right here now. Look in verse 16. For all that is in the world, are you ready for this? The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we see not only the character of the world, what it is, but the corruption of the world, what it does. Now, this world that would seduce you from loving the Lord Jesus has three main appeals. They're right here in this verse, in verse 16. They are the lust of the flesh. Do you see it? The lust of the eyes. Do you see it? And the pride of life. Now, I want us to look at those. I want us to look at them very carefully. What is the lust of the flesh? What does that mean? Well, that is Satan's appeal to your old nature. When the Bible says the flesh here, it doesn't mean your hide, your hair, your skin, your nerves, your sinews, your bones, your avoirdupois. It doesn't mean that. But when the Bible says the flesh, that means your old Adamic nature. The flesh is what we have received from our first birth. Spirit is what we receive from our second birth. And so Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. That is, when you get saved, a civil war begins on the inside. Have you felt it? Of course you have. There's that new nature that wants to serve God. That's that old nature that doesn't want to lie down and be dead. And so you're going to have a battle on the inside. Now, the Bible calls this old nature, the desires of the old nature, the lust of the flesh. Now, these are desires primarily in the area of the material, the physical, normally in the area of gluttony, laziness, drunkenness, immorality, perversion. You see, God has given you certain normal hungers. Appetite is normal and good. Thank God if you have a good appetite. Ambition is normal and good. The sex drive is a gift from God because it is part of the glue that holds the family together. But what Satan wants to do is to take normal God-given proclivities and appetites and corrupt them and pervert them. And he wants us to pamper our flesh with food and sleep and sex and drugs and liquor and laziness. What sin is primarily an abuse of something that's good. The devil doesn't have any raw materials. God made everything. So anything bad is a perversion of something that is good, and it is a misuse of good things. For example, you can misuse food. You can misuse sleep. You can misuse sex. Good things are bad things. Listen to me. Good things are bad things when they are out of place. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God's not going to take second place. But the world says, just pamper your flesh. Satisfy your flesh. And so there's the lust of the flesh. Now listen carefully. That deals with our passions. Our passions. Our passions. That's the lust of the flesh. Now, the next thing he speaks of is the lust of the eyes. That doesn't deal with our passions. That deals with our possessions. You see, your eyes have an appetite also. Have you ever heard anybody say, just feast your eyes upon that? Now, if the lust of the flesh deals with doing, the lust of the eyes deals with having. And this temptation may be a lot more refined than the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes may be sophisticated, intellectual, beautiful. It's the desire not merely to have and to own things. That is a legitimate desire. But to want more than we need and to be dissatisfied, as the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. Let me ask you a question. What really motivates you? I mean, what are your personal goals? Is the first thing in your life to be a godly person, to seek the kingdom of God? Or are you trying to be a successful person? Are you more consumed with material things than spiritual things? Have you tried to put God in second place when the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God? Your eyes are looking around and you see things and you say, I want that, and I want that, and I need this, and I want that. That's the lust of the eyes. What are you more concerned about? What school your child graduates from and his degree and his success, or his holy, godly character? I mean, really, what is more important to you? Well, let me ask you another question. Is there any material possession you would not depart with for the glory of God? Just answer that question in your heart. Are you more interested in the lives of the rich and the famous than you are the righteous and the faithful? Would you rather be invited to lunch by Bill Gates or some soul winner? I mean, what really melts your butter? What really motivates you? There is the lust of the flesh. That's our passions. It deals with doing. There's the lust of the eyes. That's our possessions. It deals with having. And then there's the pride of life. That deals with being. That doesn't deal with passion or possession. It deals with position. Oh, boy, this world says, be somebody. I mean, be recognized. Get a name for yourself. And the whole world is wrapped around these things. That's the reason so many of our young couples, listen to me, young couples, you are in difficulty today because of the pride of life. You are trying to keep up with the Joneses. You buy things you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't like. And about the time you catch up with the Joneses, they refinance. And off you go again. That's the pride of life. That's the pride of life. You think that you have to be noticed. That's the reason that people dress sometimes outlandishly. That's the reason you buy an automobile when you don't need it. That's the reason people gossip. They think that somehow if they pull others down like a drowning man, drowning in a sea of insecurity, if they pull others down that somehow they elevate themselves. That's the reason people take drugs and drink. They're 10 feet tall. They're the life of the party. They are somebody, at least for a little while. There's a system. There is a system. It deals with passions, possession, and position. It deals with doing and having and being. Folks, Madison Avenue knows this. They will write to you a letter and they will say, Mr. Rogers, our research shows us that you are a man of discriminate taste, that you're a man of above average intelligence, that you like the finer things of life and you have worked hard and deserve these things. Now let us tell you something. I hope you'll be interested, Mr. Rogers. Well, of course I am, since they've described me perfectly. Listen, folks, they know exactly how to get inside of your head. That's the way Madison Avenue makes millions and millions and millions of dollars. Passions, possession, position, doing, having, being. That's the world system. That's what's in the world. Now, folks, that's not new. That was in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve fell for that Satan's appeal there in the Garden of Eden, what did he do? He says, there's the food. That's good for the taste. All right, what's that? That's their passions. It's pleasant for the eyes. What's that? Their possession. It's desired to make one wise. What is that? That is position. Do you see how old it is? There's nothing new. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. How? Well, you say, was he tempted to take drugs or ride a motorcycle 110 miles an hour? No. But those three things, right away, the Lord said, turn these stones into bread. What's that? Satisfy the flesh. That's your passions. That's doing. Then what's the next thing he said? He said to him, he taketh him up and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. What's that? That is not doing, that's having. That's not his passions, that's his possessions. He said, all these kingdoms I'll give you. And then what was the next temptation? Cast yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple, and he'll give his angels charge over thee to bear thee up, lest you cast your foot upon a stone. That is, make a dramatic entrance. What is that? That is position. Be somebody important. Do some magical thing. Make a grand, dramatic entrance. Let me tell you, folks, the devil is working on you in the same three areas, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It is of the world. Well, you say, now, wait a minute, Adrian.
Are you trying to tell me I'm just going to sit in the corner and suck my thumb? No! What I'm telling you is this, that every temptation is a perversion of something that is good. The devil is a pervert. A pervert. God wants you to be in the business of doing, and He wants you to be in the business of having, and He wants you to be in the business of being the right way. You want something to do? Serve God. Doing and having and being are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil's a liar and a pervert. That's what he is. The world has a system that will try to draw you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've talked about why you're not to love the world because of its character, what it is, and because of its corruption, what it does. And now the third reason I want you to see, friend, is you're not to love the world because of its condemnation, where it is headed. Now look at it. For the world passeth away. Do you see that? The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now there's one sure thing about this world system. It's not going to be here forever. It is passing away. Only that which is in the will of God is going to abide forever. So let me ask you a question. I mean from my heart to your heart. What is more important to you? The pleasures of the flesh or the joys of the Spirit? What is more important to you? That which is seen or that which is unseen? What is more important to you? The praise of man or the glory of God? What is more important to you? That which is temporal and transitory, or that which is eternal and cannot pass away? If you're living for this world, you're painting the decks of a sinking ship. This world is passing away and the fashion thereof, and soon the mossy fingers of decay are going to take away all those little toys and those little trinkets that you have. Remember, Jesus said, the prince of this world is judged. Satan sails a sinking ship. He rules a doomed domain. Long, long after this world system has passed away, long after this world as we know it with its fashion has turned to rust and dust and mold and corruption, and all those things that you've dreamed for and schemed for and sold your soul for, will be junk if they exist at all. Those who know the Lord will be sitting in the kingdom, praising Him. Friend, those who live for Jesus in this world know what life is all about. Amen. I'd be a Christian if there were no heaven, no hell, just to know the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. It's kind of fun to swim against the tide. It's good to be different. It's good to walk with the Lord. But friend, we're just pilgrims here on this earth. And soon and very soon, the trumpet will sound and we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord. And I want to remind you, when Noah went into the ark, he went in a minority. But when he came out a majority. You see, listen. This world is passing away. They that do the will of God abides forever. Do you know why the world is such a problem to so many people? Let me tell you, folks, the world is not really your problem. Look, if you will, in the Word of God in verse 15. Look at it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know why you love the world? You want me to tell you why you love the world? Because that's all you've got to love. I mean, if I didn't know Jesus, I don't know what I'd do. I'd be a pessimist. Hey, folks, if you look around and you don't know Jesus Christ, what is there? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It doesn't say that the love of the Father is not in him because he loves the world. He loves the world because the love of the Father is not in him. He doesn't have anything else to love. Friend, if you give me a good meal and a wonderful dessert and everything that I want, and then you come to me with a plate of stale crumbs and say, here, Pastor, eat it. I say, no, thank you, I'm satisfied. You don't have to be in a back alley eating 10 cans with the devil's billy goats if you've been feasting on Jesus. Amen. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Give your heart to Jesus. I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you, the devil is a counterfeiter, he is a liar, he is a pervert, and this world will never satisfy your heart. You were made to serve God. If any man love the world, it's simply because the love of the Father is not in him. And who is the love of the Father? Jesus Christ. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's what John says. You put your faith where God put your sins on Jesus. Let the love of the Father come into your heart. You'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory, and furthermore, you, my friend, will abide forever when this old earth with its system is gone. You'll be with Jesus forever, but you'll have Him right now also, moment by moment. Would you bow your heads in prayer? One man was a godly man. He lived such a wonderful life. Another man looked at him and said, "You seem to have such peace and such joy. I'd give the world to have what you have." He said, "Well, that's just what it costs me. Just what it costs me." You can't love Him and love the world at the same time. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you want to be saved, would you pray a prayer like this? Dear God, just pray out of your heart. Dear God, I know that you love me. And friend, He does love you. He loves everybody in this world. Lord, I know that you love me. I know that you want to save me. Jesus, you died to save me. You promised to save me if I would trust you. Now pray this prayer out of your heart. I do trust you, Jesus. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you paid for my sin with your blood on the cross. I believe that God raised you from the dead. And like a little child, I trust you to save me. I don't ask for a feeling. I don't look for a sign. I stand on your word. You are my Lord, my Savior, my God, and my friend. Thank you for saving me. And now, Lord Jesus, because you died for me, I will live for you. I will obey you. I will make this public. I will not be ashamed of you, my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen.
And if you prayed to receive Jesus Christ just now, we would love to celebrate with you. Go to our Discover Jesus page at the website. There you'll find answers you may need about your newfound faith. We have a response section for everyone. You can share your testimony with us or how this message has made a difference in your life. But especially if you've committed your life to Christ, go to lwf.org/radio and click the tab that says Discover Jesus. Welcome to God's Forever Family. We can't wait to hear from you today. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, call 1-877-LOVE-GOD to order Your Friendly Enemy. This message is also part of the insightful series, Sweetest Fellowship This Side of Heaven. If you'd like that complete collection, all 11 powerful messages, call 1-877-LOVE-GOD, or you can order online at lwf.org/radio, or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Are you friends with this world, or are you loyal to Jesus? See your friendly enemy for what it is, recognize its corruption, and remember its condemnation. We hope you'll join us next time for more Timeless Truth from Adrian Rogers, right here on Love Worth Finding. A listener wrote on Facebook recently, I want to share this encouragement with you. He said, "I want to thank you on behalf of all God's children everywhere for your faithful work of spreading the gospel to a needy world. It is an honor to share these profound messages and practical resources to believers who are at every stage of their faith journey. That's why when you donate to the ministry right now, we want to send you our God's Word booklet collection. This collection features 5 dynamic lessons from Adrian Rogers, such as how to know the Bible is the Word of God and how to have a meaningful quiet time. Request the God's Word booklet collection when you give a gift right now at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Call 1-877-568-3463. Or give online at lwf.org/radio. And again, thank you for your faithful support of Love Worth Finding.